College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. Francisco Rojas is behind the glass. Your call is coming up here, 215-592-9494 for a chance to win a pair of Phillies tickets Tuesday night against the Red Sox. Q's clues today. A couple of clues already out there. We'll get you some more if
you
need them. There's some good clues, I got to say. And I don't say that. It's tough for me to give good compliments out because we don't get many great clues around here.
Nope.
We'll continue with that. Your call is top five Phillies last quarter century. Does Bryce Harper deserve an automatic spot in the Commanders? Do you view him as a real threat to the Eagles? And we're going to get to this Joel Embiid article. First, though, we got to give a big thank you here, Kyle, to our friends at PDQ Signature Systems and Live Casino. They brought us lunch, dropped off amazing salads from the Sports and Social restaurant, and hoagies and steaks from Geno's in Live. The food is great. If you run a food business, you need to talk with our friends at PDQ Signature Systems. And if you're headed to Live Casino, stop by Sports and Social or Geno's for some great food.
I wish the break was a few minutes longer.
You want to eat more?
I wanted a few more bites of my cheesesteak. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens on this side of the glass. Like, when we come back, sometimes we have food drops, right? You're able to take a couple more bites.
I kick back.
Yep.
I eat.
Yep, and if I see you back there, and I'm like, "Oh, Kyle's eating," we'll kind of go to him for a few minutes or talk to him.
Yeah.
But you can't do that on this side.
No, unless you're Hugh. I mean, Hugh will just do it.
Yeah,
and he'll eat on the air, like some of us have been known
to
do.
Well, and then
on
you
this
people will
station.
See him. Yeah,
that's right. Yep, he gets called Mukbang Douglas. And
yes.
But I'm not gonna subject the listeners to that today.
The food is very good, though. Yep. So we understand if you do start eating more, but the food is very good. We thank them for bringing it. I'm having a Southwest bowl from. Sports and Social, and I think you're having the cheesesteak?
I'm crushing a Geno's cheesesteak.
When I saw the opposite, I was like, oh, yeah, Kyle's going to get a cheesesteak.
Go right after that.
The food is excellent. Thank you so much for them coming out. All right, before we get back to the phone lines, Kyle, let's dive into this Joel Embiid article. And we, I'm sure each of us are going to have a couple takeaways. Mm-hmm. We can't describe it all. You have to just go read it because, I mean, literally, I know this morning on the morning show, they were talking about how long it took them to read it.
It's a long read.
I think they had Vonnie, time herself reading it. Excuse me, it was like, half an hour, whatever.
Like 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
That sounds like a task Angelo would have sent me on.
Yeah, like read this.
Like, read this. Report back with how long it took you.
So I've been doing it in stages, like since yesterday, like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. I guess I'm almost through it. It's a very long article. There's a lot there.
It's good.
Yeah, it is. My first thought that I had reading through it is Joel Embiid strikes me as someone who just... There's a lot of woe is me, and I want to make sure I separate this. The real life stuff that's happened to him, obviously losing his brother and tragedies he's gone through, I feel terribly for him. But there's a lot of woe is me basketball stuff.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
He goes on about, I'm looking at the quote here. I hope one day someone makes a show or whatever, writes a book about it, about his time with the Sixers, GMs with burner accounts, guys we drafted, stuff happened, the drama, Sam Hinkie. At some point, if you're going to move forward, you have to stop looking back. And it just feels like he can't get over how dysfunctional it's been with him here.
No, he strikes me as the kind of guy, and I think we all theorized this for a while, but he doesn't let anything go.
No.
I mean, he listens way too much to the critics. He knows what every trope is out there about him. Like,
I mean,
he
they
ran
were literally
down the list.
Going through the criticisms.
Right. Like, he knows what's being said about him, but he's, I'm sure a lot of people do. You can't avoid it in this day and age. But he doesn't know how to, compartmentalize it and just sort of shove it away and then focus on the things that matter. And then the finding the snitch thing, it speaks to that. He wasn't able to just move on. And, one of the bigger things that I took away from it is he said that it sounds like he just completely checked out on the team last year after that incident happened where things were leaked in the locker room. He is so incapable of letting anything go.
And, in pro sports, bleep happens, especially in a city like this. Think about the Eagles last year. They did the opposite. A lot of stuff hit the fan 2 years ago, right? The coach, the quarterback, Jalen didn't play great. They fired Brian Johnson. Maybe it was a scapegoat. I don't think Jalen was happy. Remember what happened last year at training camp right around this time or mini camp with Sirianni and Jalen?
Yeah.
They pushed it aside and they went and won. I mean,
that's what winners do.
That's what you have to do. And it seems like he can't do it. To go to the point Kyle made about the
snitch.
Snitch, right? You got it. I was losing my train of thought because I'm looking at the quotes. So the snitch thing, He talks about how he thinks the person who he knows who said what he said and snitched is still here. And from the wording, it seems like it bothers him a lot that they didn't move on from that person. Yeah. Now, I don't know who it is, but let's just go through this for a second. If it is like a player, it doesn't matter, right? Like a role player or a bottom of the bench guy. Then I can understand, like, hey, maybe we should have just moved on from him because this is one of the star players. Okay.
Then that's a failure by the Sixers to not have moved on from that guy.
But what if it is an important person? Right. Like, we're supposed to move on from an important person in the organization.
What if it was Nick Nurse?
Right. What if it was, I don't think it was Maxi, but like, what if it was a high level player? Like, we're going to trade that guy because Joel's annoyed?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, and the part where he said that he couldn't be bothered to really, like, pay attention to any meeting after that whole thing, like, man, that. There's still the remnants of that immature kid in Joel Embiid. And, like, you know, the tone that I took from the article is, I mean, it was sad. Like, I feel bad for the dude. One, for the off-the-court stuff. Like, that's obvious. I think everyone on a human level should feel bad for him. But he was dealt a crappy hand as soon as he got here.
Yeah.
To have an intern oversee his rehab in the beginning, like, I just... This organization is so unbelievably dysfunctional. And again, nothing new to us. But at every single turn, they did this guy wrong. And it's not like he's always given them everything that he's had. He's to blame for a lot of this stuff too. But my goodness, like, you cannot have walked into a worse situation if you're Joel Embiid.
And actually, when you read through the article, it's amazing they've had as much success as they've had.
Yeah.
Because he's totally immature and doesn't seem to see the big picture. And they're a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong that the Sixers are a mess. Mm-hmm. I just wish he talked about it less. There was also the part where he seemed upset they got rid of Harden, which was interesting because I think the whole town wanted to move on from Harden.
Right.
But I always, like, when he does, because he did this with Jimmy Butler, he does the, like, hey, I told you so, or we shouldn't have done this.
Yep.
But in effect, by him saying that he wishes they kept Harden, isn't him saying that we shouldn't have got Paul George? That was what they did.
In essence.
Right. They took away the cap space from Harden, and they gave it to George. He's basically saying, I'd rather have Harden.
And that made me feel bad for him, too, the part about how he doesn't speak with James Harden anymore. And they were he talked about, well, first of all, he's a guy that is very... He's a very reserved guy. I mean, there was a part in the article about how he has like 1,000 unread text messages, and
which
some of them are like a year old.
Insanity.
I was just about to curse on the air, but it's nuts. I mean, it's lunacy for something like that to happen in your phone. But like, he's very quiet. He's very like solitary, and he talked about how close he ended up getting with James Harden. And now they don't speak anymore. Like, it's got to be tough for if you open yourself up like that. And then for something like that to have happened, it's just another turn where, and look, I'm with you, everybody, including me, needed James Harden out of here, especially after that disgrace in Game 7. But the way they've been treating this, and they should have been treating this, is that Joel Embiid is the franchise player. They should have done what he wanted. Like, even at the disdain of the fans, if Joel Embiid was in Daryl Morey's office saying, we should do this one more time with James Harden, like... They should have found a way to get that done.
Yeah, and this is the second time now, because the first time was obviously the Jimmy Butler thing.
Right.
He wanted to keep him, and they didn't do that. As I read through the whole thing, the biggest takeaway I had, though, was that it just feels like this is a two people or two entities that should go in their separate directions. And because all he did was bring up all the crap in the organization. It doesn't feel like he's happy here.
No.
It doesn't feel like he is in a good place at all. And I'm not saying he's wrong in some. I mean, the one part of the article where he talked about his original injury when he got hurt and they did the surgery, and then he felt it wasn't healing right.
Yep.
He tried to tell them, and they were like, "Nah, you're fine." And obviously, it wasn't healing right. He needed a second surgery. It's Mickey Mouse. I mean, they're Mickey Mouse, and he's not mature. That's what this is.
It almost feels like this entire NBA career is like against his will. He doesn't really feel like it doesn't seem like he wants to play basketball. And the other thing I noticed just from like his quotes, that's the tone of a man who's talking about something that happened in the past.
Yes.
Like something that's over and done with.
Like his Sixers career.
He just signed an extension. But he's talking about it as though, like, what was the one part, like, I can't wait until the end or something like that?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
You'll never hear from, like, when he was asked about when he retires, he's going to disappear, he's not going to be in the league.
And he was saying he can't wait for that.
By the way, he has 9,500 unread texts. That's insane. 9,500 unread texts? I know he's famous, and he has a lot of people
that
bother him.
That bothers me a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of text messages.
Yeah.
The last part that I think a lot of people reacted to when I saw was about the injury 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. He came back. He had the injury against Golden State. He was playing great. They were playing great. He hurts himself against Golden State. He has the knee surgery, and he comes back for the Knicks series. There was a quote from Nicholas Batum saying his knee was so blown up in between games, he was shocked he could play.
Yeah.
He acknowledged what we all saw with our eyes. He only had about two quarters in him each game, and that's why he was horrendous in the fourth quarter. He was out of gas. But he acknowledged how difficult it was to play. He tried to play through it, which I give him some credit for. Hmm. But then why go to the Olympics 2 months later? Like, that's, I believe him. I think we saw it on the court. His body was obviously not ready to play basketball 2 months post the surgery. He tried.
Yep.
It didn't work. But then why go to the Olympics?
The Olympics thing was never a good idea, and I'm going to be that guy. I tried to tell everybody. Everybody was upset with me. I don't give a crap about Team USA, dude. I could not possibly care less. You're going to tell me that this man couldn't even walk in the playoff series and then was told or thought to himself that it's okay if he goes and plays in the Olympics?
It's nuts.
It's unbelievable. It's totally insane for that to have happened.
Yeah, it's worth a read. I mean, it really kind of details the start to where we are with Joel Embiid. And, you know, he did say he's not going to rush back. Yeah. He's going to do what's right for his body. I walk away the way I was before, though. I have zero expectations for the rest of his career here. I mean, nothing that I read yesterday made me think he's coming back like the old Joel. I don't know when he's coming back. And I just don't think it's going to last long here. If I had to guess after reading this, I think he's going to be on another team within a year and a half.
It did start to feel like the beginning of the end. Took my three seat at minimum take here. Took a massive hit.
Yeah.
With that article
coming
out.
It's going to have to be Maxey and McCain led.
Look, the hope is that maybe this breathes new life into him, some of this youth here.
Yeah,
and he has a new attitude.
I hope, because the attitude, it's not been great so far. And the Sixers are at fault too. I mean,
big time.
Yeah, they've been
a disaster.
They've been. Just everything's been bad for so long. All right, 215-592-9494 for your reaction to the Embiid article as well. Let's go to the phone lines here. Joe in Mayfair is up. Hey, Joe.
Hey, always a pleasure. Nice hearing you, Kyle, on the other side of the glass.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Before I get to the winning answer, I believe I have it. I was calling about the Phillies, but I will get my top five. But, you know, the Wizard of Oz needed to all go. And you had, you know, the Cowardly Lion in James Harden. You know, you had the Scarecrow, the Brain with Doc Rivers, and then the worst of them all was the Tin Man in Joel Embiid.
Everything. Can I get rid of the Wizard upstairs and Maury too, who's fooled everyone into thinking he knows what he's doing?
So I call it the embeatisment error, because it is an embarrassment error. All would have been forgiven if he would have just showed up in Game 6 or 7 against Boston and demanded the ball and said, I'm going to take this franchise over the top. All would have been forgiven. And he crawled under a rock. And I think Joel Embiid's problem is he doesn't like to be the face of the franchise. Harden was more of the face, took more of the media.
Butler,
when
same thing.
When you had Jimmy Butler here, the same thing. The Ben Simmons criticisms took a lot of spotlight off Embiid and made Embiid look better than what he really was consistently, especially in big game moments. So I don't want to hear it from Embiid. Like Game 6 and 7 against the arch rival in the Celtics. And you don't even show up.
You know, Joe, as bad as Game 7 was on Mother's Day when they quit, and I felt like I wasted 2 hours of my life watching that game.
Game 6 was winnable.
I'm glad you said it. Game 7, when Boston went on that run in the third quarter, it was kind of over. I mean, it just like they were up 20 or whatever. But Game 6 here, the last 5 minutes, that game was right there to be had. Like, it was, they could have knocked them out.
Turnovers. Yep. Tried to be a combo guard at the top of the key, lost the handle. Instead of getting down low, getting fouled, going to the foul line or whatever, he decided to take the easy way out. And that's what he's done his entire career here, is blame everybody else, similar to number five back with the Eagles days.
They are
blame
similar.
Blame everybody else around you.
Yep, they are similar. Who are your top five Eagles? Top five Phillies, excuse me.
I don't have Bryce Harper. He's between six and eight. I haven't decided yet where. Cole Hamels is five because he did win the MVP in 08. He was dominant. Without him, you don't have a World Series in 08. And he played long enough, was consistent enough for me to give him a nod. Number four, I got Chase Utley. All grit, all want, all desire. We'll go down him and Dykstra as the grittiest players and wear a Phillies uniform in our times. Three, I'm going to go J-Roll. He grew up a lot as he got a little bit older to help the team, you know, through the postseason. He came up with some clutch hits. But, you know, we love to hate him like Iverson. But, again, he came up huge when you needed to. Number two, I'm definitely going Zach Wheeler. The statistics he's had for 5 years here are unbelievable. His playoff record and resume is unbelievable. And number one by far, like by far. And I don't want to hear the morning show ever compare Bryce Harper to Ryan Howard again. Ryan Howard is, and him, Sosa, and Babe Ruth are in a category of their own of 45 homers and 135 ribbies in four straight seasons. And Ryan Howard had so many clutch hits to get the Phillies to the postseason that September he carried them on his back with two-run, three-run shots. He was electric. It's a shame the Phillies kept him in the minors 2 to 3 years longer than he should have been to keep his salary down, or he could have had close to 500. And the Achilles injury in 11 and the 1-0 loss to the Cardinals was heartbreaking. That's why his swing, he didn't use his legs. I mean, he just moved. Like, he was amazing to watch, where he had the shortest stride of a power hitter I've ever seen. He barely moved his feet. And the strength of that guy and all the clutch home runs and the long home runs on Ashburn Alley. And he made the bank what the bank was, because everybody wanted to go see Ryan Howard hit. And I think we forget that.
I mean, he was,
so they're my top five.
He was scary at the plate.
There's something really fun, Joe, about like a true slugger. Like, you know, obviously McGuire, Sosa had their run, was steroid aided. But like, there's something fun about that. And he was that. Now, Schwarber is that now for the Phillies. But there was something, when you have one of those guys, it's like you can't get your eyes off the TV.
Now, let me, and this is where I think Bryce Harper, his numbers home run wise, RBI wise, have been awful. I know he's missed some games, but still awful. He's a great talent. Like, Abreu was a great talent, but Harper has the heart. I miss Harper's heart the last two seasons during the regular season. I miss the fun that he has. But when the fan base, if you have a poll in the fan base, would you rather have Kyle Schwarber here or Bryce Harper? I don't think the answers are going to be that far apart. I actually think Schwarber might actually win because he's more likable now the last two seasons.
Yeah.
He's more clutch the last two seasons. And when you can say that a DH – and a player who came here after Harper is more likable, that'll just show you that Harper is not going to be a top five player.
Yeah, well, the more we hear from people, we're getting less Harper votes for the lock of a top
five.
He
looks angry all the time, guys. He doesn't look like he's having fun anymore.
Well, good.
Like,
well, no, you know,
he should be angry.
I've noticed that for a year plus now. I wonder how much of it, Joe, is he's hurt, like, his body's breaking down and it's zapping the joy of playing baseball.
Or
for him.
You know, or it's affecting guys like Bryson Stott, who's his buddy, who can't hit the backside of a barn
He cannot. I mean, he's
so.
Yeah.
And maybe it's affecting the locker room, a lot of the negativity. I know Alvarado didn't help either, but the locker room seems like it's lethargic. There's no energy, and it's up to the manager to absolutely light a fuse once in a blue moon to do something, not over the top, but to do something to show some energy for this team. And let me give you the winner for Hughes Clues. I do listen to Morning Show every day, so I hope I don't mess this up. I believe it's Steve Martin.
You're right. You nailed it. Joe, you got it, buddy. Joe, you're headed to the Phillies game Tuesday, July 22nd. It is Y2K Retro Night. John LeClair, Mark Jackson, and our very own Ike Reese changing bases during the third. And yes, Steve Martin is the answer to Q's Clues.
Now, is that's 2 days in a row, two clues got it done, right?
I believe so.
Is that a good or bad thing?
Well, I mean,
too easy?
It's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, they were obviously good clues. But if you're listening and you wanted more clues because you didn't have it yet, you might have wished it took a third clue.
Behold my greatness.
Well, behold Joe's greatness. He nailed it. Now, how much of that was because of your great clues, or how much of it was because Joe is just, you know, one of our better listeners who listens a lot to the station, and he heard the morning show? I mean, you really had you gave a specific clue because
I did.
You had to be a morning show listener both of the last 2 days.
Yes. And so both days, I think the way I did it was, because the Doran Boss one was that it came up on our show.
Yeah, so know the station. Really.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I feel like that's a good way to do it. Instead of just giving this away to some guy taking a wild guess, we give it away to a loyal listener. I like it that way.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad Joe won, and it was obviously right.
We didn't take to 130.
What would have been the final two clues if we had to get there?
The final two clues, one half of a comedic duo. Him and Martin Short.
They recently did, maybe it wasn't that recently, I just watched it recently, but I think in the last few years they did a stand-up comedy duo thing.
Okay.
It was great. I mean, they're still super funny.
Yeah, and he and Martin Short both on the Hulu show Only Murders in the Building.
Is it good?
You know, I think I saw the first season, and then when the second one came out, I think I'd like forgotten everything that happened, and I didn't get into it. It's popular, though.
Well, now that you tell me they're both in it, I might go watch it.
Oh, yeah, they're both in it. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of the 90s was Father of the Bride when with the two of them.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's so Steve Martin's daughter's getting married, and Martin Short is like the wedding planner. Mm. And his name, I believe the character's name is Franz Egelhofer, and he's just ridiculous.
So, I know him from Cheaper by the Dozen,
yep.
Pink Panther, and Plane, Trains, and Automobiles.
They're all very good. Yeah, Pink Panther. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio?
Chuck, what's up?
Kyle Quinn on the other side of the glass. What's
hey,
up, guys?
What's How you up,
doing?
Chuck?
Hey, I want to say this, right? Joel Embiid is the biggest loser I've ever seen in life, okay?
In life.
And he's a weirdo, okay? Biggest weirdo I've ever, loser I've ever seen in life. And I'm just sick of him, man. This is it. This is it, man. You know, you cry for Jimmy Butler. You cry James Harden. It hurts your feelings. You don't talk to him anymore. You're a grown man. You know what I mean? You want to play with Jimmy Butler or James Harden so bad, won't you do us all a favor? Request a trade out and go to L.A. and go play with your friend James Harden so you can talk and text to him every day. Okay? Nobody cares about that. Okay? You're a loser of a player, and this is why this franchise is where they are right now. You think we're supposed to expect this guy to come back and be a championship player and lead this team to greatness with these young guys coming up? You pick this article out, then you say you're not going to be a part of a team meeting no more. Well, if you're not going to be a part of a team meeting no more, what are you here for? What are you here for? I just want to know. You know what I mean? Because the thing about it is life hits you. When life hits you, right, you know, you take it and you get up. You want to hold grudges. And you want to be mad because something happened a year ago, whereas though you were called out on the carpet for not doing the right thing in the first place. Now you're talking about you don't want to be a part of a team meeting. Is that a sign of a player that's a winning player?
No.
Is that a sign
no.
of a player that VJ Edgecombe can look up to and say, you know what, I want to be like that guy? Is that a sign of a player that McClain can look up to and say, oh, I want to be like that guy? Like, this is ridiculous, man. What are we doing? I mean, with this guy. I'm sick of the Joel Embiid crap, okay? And I've been saying it for a long time. You know, we don't need this guy to go forward. If the Sixers were smart, they'd cut bait with that other trash truck juice player, Paul George.
Trash truck.
Trash truck's a good
and
one.
Joel yeah. Embiid. Mm. Yeah, and Joel Embiid. Trash truck juice, Joe. Not trash truck. Trash truck juice.
That's nasty, man.
That's the slime that comes from the trash
truck. Yeah, we know what
it
is.
Drops. You know what I'm saying? That's what these two players are. They're going to stunt the growth of these young guys coming up. And you don't need them. You don't need them anymore. I tell you, because there's more negativity that's going to come behind it than positivity of keeping these guys on the team. And I got five Phillies for you, but I just wanted to get that off my chest because this guy is just a losing player, and he holds a dark cloud over this organization, and I won't fully believe into this organization until he is gone.
Well, I agree with that last part. There's just too much woe is me. I mean, like, he just doesn't take any accountability for what goes on around here. All right, Chuck, what do you got? You're five Phillies since 2000.
I'm counting on you to have Bryce here, Chuck.
Of course I have Bryce Harper. Come on, man.
My
fifth guy. You know, my fifth guy is actually going to be Willer. Zach Willer is my fifth guy. Okay. Cliff Lee is my fourth.
I was waiting for the Cliff Lee name. We hadn't heard that yet today.
I'm a Cliff Lee guy. I always love Cliff Lee. I mean, boom, bang. I mean, he just get him. I just love the way he pitched. Willer deal. Get him right out. You know, he was just a magnificent pitcher. Wasn't here long enough, but he's a magnificent pitcher. And top three here, now I got to go with J-Roll at three. Okay. And the reason why I go with J-Roll at three is because we would never won that World Series in 08 if it wasn't for him. That whole dynasty, I like to call it the Phillies dynasty, when we became trash to good, it was because J-Roll, his confidence, man, that he just gave everybody in the locker room and he gave the city. So J-Roll, and I love his defense, great shortstop, and should be a Hall of Famer. J-Roll at three. Number two, I'm going to have to go with Bryce Harper. I'm gonna go with Bryce at two.
Attaboy.
And the reason why, and it's just subject to change, but I'm going with Ryan Howard at number one. The reason why I'm going with Ryan Howard at number one is, it never was a slugger like that to ever play for Philadelphia. I've never seen somebody just pit fear in a pitcher's heart, and the pitcher could be a great pitcher, but I've never seen somebody pit fear in their heart like that when he comes up to the plate.
Yep.
This guy was lights out. And like I said, subject to change. The reason why I got Bryce number two is because of the clutch hitting in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I've never seen somebody hit so clutch in the playoffs, man. You get that guy at the plate, Bryce Harper at the plate, you know, in playoffs, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to either hit a double, a homer, or he's going to get somebody on base. That's how clutch he is. So Bryce number two, Howard number one, but it's subject to change depending on how Bryce's career goes here. But,
Chuck, good phone call, man. Guy. We appreciate it. I mean, you knew Bryce would be on his. I mean, that's...
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's his guy.
Now, that has me wondering, if Bryce does get a ring, we have to heavily consider number one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, he would vault from wherever you have him, 6, 7, 8, 5, 3, 1.
I think that instantly catapults him to number one.
Well, because he would the other guys only have one. He would match them, and they went to two World Series. Mm-hmm. If he gets a ring, that means he's in at least another World Series. But that didn't happen yet.
I know, but like...
I mean, we can't... That's a big thing to just say if it happens.
Well, I know, but we can't...
Going backwards.
Like, no, hold on. Because...
Well, I mean, Fran's not wrong.
I know, but like... But championships... I can't believe I got to be this
Here
guy.
Here we go.
It's hard to win a championship!
Here we go.
And we're going to put it all on Bryce Harper's shoulders
sound
if
like
they don't.
You just the Jalen Hurts people. Just elevate him up because he won a title.
No.
Wow.
No. But I think there is a comparison to Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts wears the losses and he wears the wins. Like, we keep that same energy with Bryce Harper. Do we not?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Like, I mean, all of this winning and losing. And I'll even
But the only reason he's on the list anyway is because he came here, and two, the Bedlam at the Bank.
Okay, but
that's
like,
that wasn't even a World Series.
By the way, Jalen Hurts is a quarterback. Like, Bryce Harper's a guy in the lineup.
Yeah, right. He has less impact.
It's less. Yeah. It's even, like, it's more unfair to put it all on Bryce than it is on Jalen.
I agree.
But it still happens.
It does. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Top five Phillies last 25 years. It's quarter century week. Does Bryce Harper deserve an automatic spot? I'll check in with the poll. I don't think he does. I don't think he deserves an automatic spot. My top five, Utley, Rollins, Howard, Hamels, Zach Wheeler. Kyle thinks Harper deserves an automatic spot. We'll come back finishing the Phillies. Fran will throw a trade candidate at us. And I missed one piece of the Embiid story I want to bring up because Chuck just got the wheel spinning here. We'll bring that up as well. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Show Giulio, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh. We'll get back to everyone's call. Francisco Rojas behind the glass. And you know what we do at 12:30 leading up to the trade deadline. By the way, it is 2 weeks from today, the MLB trade deadline. Woo. Let's finish the Phillies here and try to make a deal, Fran.
Let's make a deal.
All right, so like you said, 2 weeks away to the trade deadline.
Yep.
Probably the most intriguing trade deadline I think I can remember in a long time.
Well, Dombrowski's most important.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, so today's player has been in the American League Central for 4 years now. Has a career 2.41 ERA. Probably has one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball right now. Has a strikeout per nine rate of over 11, for his career. Will be a free agent in a couple of years, so this could be a guy that you're not getting just as a rental. I would say people consider him right now to be one of the best, probably closers, maybe not just the American League, but in all of Major League Baseball.
How old?
He is 27.
27, one of the best closers in baseball. Years of control left on his contract. Where do I sign up? It sounds like the perfect Phillies trade candidate.
And he has a great, keep going because I don't want to give it away.
I know who this is.
You already know who it is.
He's my dream target for the Phillies.
Catering towards you, Kyle.
Good. I mean, this is the easiest yes I think we've had so far. I've heard this name connected to the Phillies. It's very clearly Duran from the Twins. And I would do crazy things.
Is it because of the closer entrance?
No, it's not.
The closer entrance is pretty darn cool.
I think closer entrances are corny. I'm sorry.
That's all
whack.
Of them? Closer songs or closer entrances? Because a lot of songs.
All of it. Go out there and strike guys out.
Now,
that's all I need to say.
I know you were young at the time. Do you remember, have you ever seen Eric Gagne's? So Eric Gagne had like a year or two where he was the best closer in baseball. Yeah. He was clearly on steroids. He was awesome. And when he came in the game, It just, everything went dark, and it just flashed game over on the screen.
Yeah.
I thought it was the most badass thing, and for 2 years, it was game over.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Okay.
Because like, then how asinine do you look if you go out there and get tagged?
Well, but Rivera.
Yeah.
He came out to Entertainment.
Yeah. But it's intimidation more than anything else.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Grant Balfour came out to one.
If the lights go off and it says game over, that's pretty badass.
I want you to show me a hitter who's actually intimidated by that. There's zero chance that that's intimidating.
Well,
for
the most part, the game was over when that guy came in.
But every closer has it now.
Kyle, you have PTSD from Kimbrel. That's what it is.
No, I don't.
It's fresh in your brain. Fresh in the mind.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's that loser Edwin Diaz and the stupid freaking trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
Anything associated with
so
the Mets
jealous.
In my head is
you're
that, no. Excuse me. Don't ever tell me I'm jealous of the Mets ever again. I'm not jealous. I just can't stand the Mets. I can't stand Edwin Diaz. The stupid trumpet. It sucked. It's corny. It's loser stuff. Go out there and dominate. That's the most intimidating thing you can do. I don't need the closer entrance.
All right, so we're all going to agree we want Duran, right? Like, there's he fits the profile and everything. Forget the song. Like, just the pitching, the health, the dominance.
Forget the song.
Yeah, like, he's a closer, so it's not like you're projecting, he pitch? Like, he's done everything. He's pitched in the postseason, I think, either one or two times and pitched well in every postseason game he's pitched in. So it's not like, could he handle October? He did that in 2023. Here is the question. What price do you walk away from? Because if I'm the Twins, like, I always think of the other side of this. Like, you brought up Ryan Reynolds the other day for the Pirates, right? Yep. Like, I'm like, I want to give him away if I'm the Pirates.
Yeah.
If I'm the Twins, you're not getting Johan Duran unless I'm getting the best of what you have. So where do you walk away from the table?
Andrew Painter's off the table.
They could ask for Andrew Painter.
They could, and I'm hanging up the phone.
It's a reasonable ask. He's not. If he was a free agent to be, I would say it's not reasonable. He's a top five closer
give
in baseball.
Give us Buxton, too.
Well, yeah, I would have to start. Yeah, I would have to start sweetening the pot because at the end of the day, well, Johan Duran is my dream player at the deadline. He's a reliever,
but we need?
Yes, but I'm not trading a starter. Like just out of principle at the trade deadline, I'm not giving away a projected ace starter for a reliever. I'm just not doing it.
Aiden Miller, we're in.
Absolutely, get lost, Aiden. Sorry, Jack.
It kind of reminds me of 2016 when the Cubs. Now the Cubs were probably better than the Phillies are right now, but like the Cubs were trying to win the World Series, and they traded Gleyber Torres, who was at that point a top five prospect in baseball, and he's become a good player. He just started the All Star game.
He's fun.
Yeah, they traded him for a rental of Aroldis Chapman. Like he was the best closer on the market. Like it was the all in. Theo Epstein said, "We're trying to win the World Series now. I'll give up a future All Star for this guy."
Yeah,
that could be Miller, or they could. If they say Painter, you're hanging up the phone?
I'm hanging up. There's pretty much nobody that I know of that's available at the trade deadline that you could get Andrew Painter off my hands.
Well, all right. So
Jax, Duran, and Buxton. You're not giving up Painter?
Yes, I'm giving up Painter.
That's a package of three players, yes.
You're getting your eighth and ninth inning and your new cleanup hitter.
And the Buxton thing is what tips the scale. If you were telling me it was Buxton and Duran, then yes, I would do Andrew Painter. So, like, you would have to make it very hard for me to say no for the Andrew Painter thing. There's no Soto available at this deadline.
No.
I would have given up Painter in a heartbeat for Juan Soto. Like, there's no player like that.
So
no one
it'd be a combo. You need a combination.
I need a combo.
The Cleveland, there's the rumors about Cleveland, too, I saw last week. Was it Jeff Paston that had it? Stephen Kwan and Emmanuel Clase.
I love that one.
I would do that.
Stephen Kwan is awesome.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He never strikes out. People would love him.
Field, no Kepler.
Yeah. It's like as good as Duran is, relievers such like a year to year thing. Like guys are so up and down. It's a very volatile thing.
Yeah. Now,
and so really, at the end of the day, we're doing this to try and win the World Series this year.
Yes. Now, to be fair with this guy, he's been pretty consistently excellent for four straight years. Right. Like he's
right.
He might be every once in a while. There's a reliever that just does it for six or seven or 8 years or 10.
You just never know. I need the Buxton thing would definitely tickle my fancy. Because you'll have him for a while. It becomes like a centerpiece.
Now, unfortunately, he did say at the All-Star game that he doesn't want to waive his no-trade clause.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes guys will change their mind on that. Like, if he's presented with a deal a week from now, and maybe he... But he seemed pretty adamant. But
and look, what if the Twins are honest with him? They're like, dude, like, we're going to start selling pieces. So you want to be the only guy left on this decrepit roster?
He could change his mind.
That we're about to dismantle? Then, you know, he says that now. I'm not 100%. Like, that didn't signal to me that it's over in terms of going after Byron Buxton.
All right, so you're out on Painter. I probably would be too. I don't want to trade Andrew Painter. And you would do Painter if they included Bucks or something else. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go to one more angle. Let's say it's not enough Aiden Miller. They've got other good offers.
Uh-huh.
Are you giving up Aiden Miller and Mick Abel? Like, how?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big offer.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But the reason
Miller and Crawford.
Yes. I'm more
just keep saying yes.
Yeah. it just can't be Andrew Painter. But I need the Buxton part of it. It's not just for the reliever. So and the reason I'm more encouraged about this deadline, and you can call me crazy, I feel pretty good about this trade deadline for Dave. Like when that Matt Gelb article came out about Dombrowski being more willing to trade top-end prospects in this deadline.
Which they were not last year.
Right. Now, the reasoning is not the greatest reasoning because it was about fixing mistakes he made in the offseason.
Yep.
But, like, I really think Dombrowski knows that this is probably going to be their best chance of this, like, 4 or 5 year period for the Phillies to go win the World Series. And I think now he's becoming a... Look, also, Dombrowski's probably looking at his own, like, the hourglass on him, his tenure as a Phillies GM, too. So why is he what incentive does he have to hoard prospects at this point?
I don't think he has any. I mean, the last couple of trade deadlines have been just meek,
and the players we've gotten have sucked.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, they haven't given up. They haven't paid a lofty price for anything.
They haven't
guys.
Gone all in.
No.
I mean, and there was a report last year, and it came up again, that article you're referencing, that they walked away from the Garrett Crochet thing last year. They had a chance to get him. I think it was maybe Painter that they wouldn't put on the table, or Miller. I mean, in retrospect, maybe they regret it. I mean, Crochet's the top five pitcher in baseball.
I think a lot of this is coming from regret from last year's trade deadline, and maybe some regret from the offseason, which isn't the best way to operate, is fixing your own mistakes.
But you have to sometimes.
You do.
I mean, Howie does that.
That was exactly what I was just going to say. Howie Roseman fixed the Wentz mistake, and look what it turned into. So, you know, I don't know. Like, if it turns into a World Series, nobody's going to care.
I would love Duran. Go get him. And I am, if push comes to shove, I also would say no on Painter. But I'm okay considering it. Like I would take a long time to consider it. I would probably say no to Painter. Yeah. I would say yes to anybody else in the organization.
There's packages that entice me, which just realized that could get clipped in the future.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm the producer of the show.
Yeah. Well, no, Fran's gonna clip it and just save it for another day.
Already done.
Yeah. Thank you.
But if it's just a reliever, I'm not even considering it.
Yeah, he is a heck of a reliever.
It has to be a batter.
Duran from the Twins, today's finishing the Phillies. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
I've got an enticing package for you.
Oh, great.
Kyle.
Yep.
Jordan Romano, Garrett Stubbs, and throw in Kepler.
Oh, these are my favorite sports radio trades. Let me give you all my favorite sports radio trades. Let me give you all the crap on our team, and you give me your best player. Let's do that.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they'll jump on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all that they want.
How have you guys been?
Oh, doing well, Andy. How you been?
Fantastic, buddy.
Good, thanks. I like a full 4 hours of Kyle anger out from behind the glass.
I don't think that's happened once.
Well, you know what I find interesting? Never. The same people Kyle yells at before they get on the air. Now he gets to just do it while they're on the air.
That's right.
Everyone gets to hear it.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's just basically...
I don't yell at you, though, Andy. Do I?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's more like Aaron or Chris.
Yeah. Well, you better get it together.
So with Embiid, though, now that you brought him up, it's funny that he's naming all these issues with the Sixers and everything they've done wrong, but he doesn't see his role in the dysfunction with the, you know, just being acting like a child all the time and making himself the center of the world, center of attention. Do you Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. There's a lack of person. It's like two things could be true at once. He's not wrong on the Sixers being a mess, right? He's probably right on a lot of those things. But there's also a lot of personal accountability that this article just zoomed past, like that he's part of the issue. And injuries happen, unfortunately. But I don't think he's kept himself in the best shape. And there's no excuse, as we went over, for not being able to move in the Knicks series in April than to go to the Olympics in June and make things worse.
Right. You know, that was horrible. But, I mean, we all deal with crap at work, and you got to act like a professional. He just acts like a baby on the court when he gets frustrated. You know, nobody needs to see it. So, anyway, the top five, I'm with Kyle on this. I don't know how you could not have Harper
on
the list. When you build a franchise around a player, he's got to be on that list, in my mind. But the 08 team makes it extremely hard to put any list together with somebody else besides them. So I would have, in no order, it's got to be Howard, Utley, and Rollins. And then I got Harper, so it's that fifth spot. Somebody already stole Eric Bruntlett from me. So
Bruntlett's not on a top five list.
So no Hamels? you don't have Hamels on yours?
No, but do you have Hamels or Wheeler?
I have both and no Bryce.
If I had to...
Right.
It is tough.
That's what I'm saying. To round it out that five is difficult.
See, I guess for me, I understand the point both of you guys are making. Wheeler, although he didn't come first, right? They built it around Bryce, and then Wheeler came next because he's a free agent 2 years later. Like, to me, Wheeler's been better than Bryce. Like, year to year, he's just better at his position and just overall better. And he's been just as great in October. Now, he doesn't have that Bedlam at the Bank moment. It's tough for a starting pitcher to have a moment unless you throw a no-hitter like Doc. But, like, his October numbers are also historic. Like, he's done everything Bryce has done, except he just isn't the face of it.
Wheeler's moment is getting pulled before the Alvarez home run.
Oh,
you know
God.
What? Maybe if Topper left him in, that's his moment.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's slowly coming to light that everything comes back to him, and I don't want to believe it's the manager, but I think... starting to feel that way.
Yeah. Now, but, you know, I always defend a Topper on that. They weren't scoring that night.
No.
Whether or not it was Alvarado or Wheeler, the issue was the offense just died.
The lights went out on that offense.
Yeah.
It's still just a terrible move.
Well, it did not work out as Alvarez sent the ball to the moon. Yeah.
I got to get back to Bruntlett, though, real quickly.
Oh, great.
I don't know if it's not a permanent display, I don't think, but his unassisted triple play is in the Hall of Fame. I was up there. They actually have a display up there with Eric Bruntlett for that unassisted triple play he had at second
base. Wow. So I've only been to Cooperstown once. It was before that. I think it was like 05, 06, somewhere in that range. So I've never seen that. They have it because it's an unassisted triple play?
I saw that. I was there last year. I saw it.
Yeah.
That's wild. What's?
I just can't. I don't know if that's like a permanent thing or not, but I was blown away that Eric Bruntlett was in the Hall of Fame.
So the only member of that group that's in the Hall of Fame, not Utley yet, not Rollins, not Hamels, not Howard, it's Eric Bruntlett.
Well, that's it. That's
a good case.
Spot, then.
That's a good case.
That's a wild one.
Bedtime at the bank doesn't count.
Andy, good phone call, man. We appreciate it.
Hold on. Did he just say bedtime at the bank?
It had to be Bedlam.
I'm going to kill him.
It couldn't have been bedtime.
That's reaching.
That's the second time.
No, think about it like logically. Why would he say bedtime?
Fran might have to pull the audio. I think he said bedtime.
I think he just kind of quickly went through Bedlam. And it's,
stop washing away Bedlam at the bank.
What was, no one's doing that. What was Chris's this morning? Bedlam
people.
At
the park. That was way worse.
Bedtime would actually be worse.
Yeah, well, bedtime's more disrespectful. Park is more, how could you forget?
Citizens Bank Park. It's the name of the stadium. Sure. I could see why.
He did say bedtime. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you guys off.
He said bedtime?
Yeah. I'm listening. Dude, I'll play it back for you.
That cannot happen. That can't happen. You see what I'm dealing with here today?
Well, you said you never yelled at Andy. Now you're going to.
Right, I'm going to kill him.
Quickly to go back to Embiid for a second, because there's so much in this article. If you haven't read it, you should check it out at ESPN. But one thing that annoys me is Joel will speak out of both sides of his mouth, right? He talked in the article. We know in the past he's been annoyed they didn't keep Jimmy Butler. In this particular article, he talked about how he played his best and he loved James Harden. Maybe they should have kept that together. But then This is in the article. He, quote, he refuses to exert himself over personnel decisions, only to later complain about them. The exit of Jimmy Butler is the most obvious example. His reasons for this are rooted in his own personal history. He wonders what would happen to him if the Sixers had an established star with clout to ship him out early in his career. Quote, I always told myself I will never be responsible for someone losing their job, someone getting traded, someone getting fired. Don't ask me about if we should sign and if we should trade anybody. Okay, that's fine. I wish he gave his input, but okay. Then you can't complain.
No.
It's like if we're going out to eat, and then you don't want to give any input on where we're going to eat, and then I pick the place, and you're like, oh, I don't eat this food. Well, then you should have said something.
He's very clearly in, like, a mental blender with all of the stuff. He doesn't know how to, like, because the part where he talks about, I think he sort of alluded to that he was a little bit more strong in the Harden camp, and then at Burnham. They got rid of Harden, and now Harden doesn't talk to him anymore.
Right.
So he doesn't, like, he already doesn't establish great relationships with people, like, as is.
Well, 9,000 unread text messages.
And then the one time he puts himself out there, it ends up being, like, I'm sure that's sad for him. He said they were close.
And they don't talk anymore now.
But, right. But you, I mean, you're right. Like, if he's going to be that reserved, then he really doesn't have a right to complain when they do something that he didn't want them to do. You have to speak up.
Yeah, right. Or exactly. If you really feel strongly about something, say something. And I mean, he I don't think anymore, but he used to be good enough that I think they would have probably done what he asked because that's you're getting the best out of the player. It's just he is such a frustratingly great player because he's clearly great. Anyone with eyes knows this, but he's frustrating. And this article, because I saw a lot of people like just putting pieces of it out there. When you read the whole thing, at times I feel a lot of empathy for him as a person.
Lot.
But then I come away annoyed.
Yeah.
Like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
He's a frustrating player.
It was from the basketball perspective, you're like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then from the human perspective, you're like, damn.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Sucks.
215-592-9494. Your phone calls. All right, coming up, we'll get to everyone's phone calls. Top five Phillies last 25 years. Does Bryce Harper deserve a guaranteed spot? The Commanders, are they a real threat for you in the NFCs? They are for me. And, of course, everything we've talked about today, including Joel Embiid. But we need to work through something. So we were thinking about the last 25 years of Phillies baseball, and we thought, let's put together a top five list of the moments, the best moments.
Yep.
The problem is there's so many moments. We got to parse this list out. We'll play some of the best ones, and we'll try to narrow this down to the five best. That's coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.